Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 19th day of August 2020. And as always, I am thrilled to have as my guest Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. And today we are going to be addressing a very controversial theme. Who knows, it might even lose me some friends and gain me some enemies, I don't know. But the theme we are discussing today is debunking the myth of the noble savage and slander against the Christian colonists in North America. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Tony Costa.
It's a pleasure to be with you again, Chris, as always.
And before we go into the theme, why don't you give our listeners who are unfamiliar with Toronto Baptist Seminary a summary description of that fine institution?
Sure. Toronto Baptist Seminary is a Reformed Baptist seminary, and it began in the 1930s, under Dr. T.T. Shields, who was also the pastor, the senior pastor of the Jarvis Street Baptist Church in Toronto, Canada. And the seminary has been faithfully training men and women for ministry, mission work, and we've been training men in particular for the pastorate. And we've also been training men and women in academia, in academic studies. And so some of our students have gone on to PhDs and THDs and other doctoral degrees. And so we're a conservative seminary in the heart of the city of Toronto. And our motto is Kata Christon, which means according to Christ. And so it is one of the very few seminaries that, in Canada at least, that still has remained faithful to the gospel and refuses to compromise.
Well, praise God. And if anybody wants to find out more about Toronto Baptist Seminary, their website is TBS for Toronto Baptist Seminary .edu, TBS.edu. Also, I want to make sure that there is, I want to make sure that you announce anything that you have going on in a way of speaking engagements, any kind of conferences, any things that you're offering over the internet, because sometimes you may be doing things that I'm unaware of that our audience should know about. So please have this opportunity
sure.
to highlight anything like that that you are doing.
Sure. I'm currently finishing up a course on a Christian response to social justice, and we've had over 45 students that have joined this course, and it's all online. And these students come from across North America. We even have a couple of students from India as well who joined us. And from time to time, I do offer these online courses. And they're not for credit. They're just for believers who want to expand their knowledge of Scripture and theology. And so the best way to find out what I'm teaching next, Chris, is if they go to my Facebook page, just go to Tony Costa Facebook page. You can't miss it. There's a line in the background, Lion of Judah, it says. And this fall, I'm actually teaching two courses at Toronto Baptist Seminary. One is Introduction to the History of Western Thought is one of them, and the other one is Introduction to Islam. And those courses are also available online. We will have students in class, but those courses are also available online. And I'm also teaching another course on Introduction to World Religions at Heritage College and Seminary in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada, which is also available online. So if anyone's interested, they could go to the TBS EDU website that you mentioned, Chris. If they're interested in the Introduction to World Religion, they can go to search for Heritage College and Seminary in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. You can contact the registrar's office there as well. And these are evening courses, so these are generally held around 6:30 to 9:30 p.m.
Great. And once again, go to Facebook and look for Tony Costa, and just make sure you're choosing the right Tony Costa. It sounds like a fairly common name. But
yeah, there's a fellow on Wikipedia. Apparently, someone did a search on me, and they said, "I can't believe it. He's that Cape Cod serial killer." but that wasn't me. Same name, but not the same person.
Well, so you say it's not you.
Yeah.
Well, this is a theme that has me a little bit nervous, because it's the type of theme that flings the door wide open for people to misunderstand you. And ironically, the very people who are against prejudging others, prejudice is where we get that term, prejudging, are likely going to prejudge what we believe in and are speaking about today. But I want to up front, as before we go into the theme of debunking the myth of the noble savage and slander against the Christian colonists in North America, I know you well enough to know, and I know my own mind and heart well enough, although the heart is exceedingly wicked and who can know it, but I know myself well enough to know that our motivation is infinitely far from trying to perpetuate and condone and promote racial bigotry, racial hatred. Of course, there is only one race, the human race, but people, to use the vernacular of the day so that they understand us, people to look down upon people in any way for the most trivial of reasons, which would include how much melanin content they have in their skin, what nation of origin they are from, and what kind of accent they may have. And we could go on and on with that kind of thing. To look down on people for reasons such as that is evil, wicked, and satanic, and clearly condemned in the scripture. We even have some startling examples in the scripture, including Moses' own sister, who is struck white with leprosy when she dared to hold or harbor bigotry against Moses' wife, who was an Ethiopian.
Right.
And so, and we even have the harshest of language uttered and written by the Apostle Paul against his fellow Jews who had bigoted views of Gentile Christians who had adopted the same faith that they were risking their lives to believe, practice, and perpetuate and spread. But they were bigoted against the Gentiles. And ironically, today we are hearing that if you are black, or if you are brown, or if you are among what are known as racial minorities, there are some who are insane enough to think that you are incapable of being a bigot, because you have basically the privilege and liberty to have views against those of lighter skins, especially white people, because those folks allegedly who have darker skins have never been in places of power and authority. Now, where they get that from in the 21st century, I have no idea, because there are plenty of people who are black, brown, and otherwise, who are in places of authority. But even if you want to grant them the argument that historically they have not been in places of authority here in the United States until a more recent history, that does not give a license to hate anyone or even look down upon in any way or look upon somebody else as being guilty of a sin that you cannot be guilty of. Because we have, if we have that very scenario in the New Testament where Jewish Christians are harboring bigoted attitudes towards Gentile Christians, and the Gentiles, for as long as the Jews existed, have persecuted the Jews, have enslaved them, have annihilated them, have abused them, and we could go on and on and on. And if anybody would have the right, if such a right exists, to harbor bigoted views, it would have been the Jews and the Jewish Christians, but they were forbidden by Paul to have such attitudes. So I know that I rambled on for quite a while, but do you think that was a thorough enough caveat today before we go into our discussion?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, and I think that we begin the subject by looking at it through biblical lenses and recognizing that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that all have become corrupt. And so when Paul makes that universal statement in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that means every single human being on the face of the planet has sinned against God and is a transgressor. And that doesn't matter if you're white or black or brown or yellow or red or whatever you are, we are all in the same category of sinner. And therefore, when we even speak of such a subject as the noble savage, the real question is there anyone who's noble before God? And the scripture says none. There is no one who does good. There is no one who seeks after God. And so we are all in the same situation before Almighty God. And that includes Native Americans, and that includes Caucasians, and that includes Asians, and that includes Africans, and so forth and so on. And therefore, we are not picking and choosing. We're not being selective here, Chris, and saying, oh, you know, all the colonists, they were noble and fine. They did nothing wrong. No, no, they were bad stuff that the colonists did. And there's also bad stuff that the American Indians and the African Americans, that is, their ancestors in Africa, there's a lot we can go to in terms of tribal conflict and certain tribes trying to eradicate other tribes and cannibalism and so forth. So all that shows us at the end of the day, Chris, is that the scriptures are right, that all humans, regardless of their ethnicity, are all sinners. We are our hearts are deceitfully wicked, as Jeremiah 17:9 says, and we have all become as an unclean thing. So there is no privilege here there's no privilege class here at all. We are all under the condemnation of God's holy law.
And one of the reasons, or two of the reasons, that I wanted Tony to discuss this, well, first of all, it was amazingly providential that Tony came up with the idea for today's discussion when I asked him, so what do you want to talk about? And he said, oh, how about debunking the myth of the noble savage and slander against the Christian colonists in North America? And I almost fell off my chair because over dinner, a very dear friend of mine, who happens to be one of the sons of another very dear friend of mine, was having a little dispute with his mother and I at the dinner table. Or is it his mother and me? What's the grammar there? But
his mother and I.
Actually, I think it's his mother and me. But anyway, he was repeating the often quoted statement. It's been something that has been a part of the American culture for a long time. It's not just a recent thing, but. He was saying that, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement are saying a lot of true things. And one of them is that the white man robbed the Native Americans of their land and performed genocide and raped and pillaged. And we have no right to ownership of any property in this continent, on this continent, the North American continent. And, you know, in reality, the Native Americans should be given this land back if it were possible, and, you know, on and on and on. And so that's one of the reasons, is that my friend, who is also my friend's son, in fact, the son of the woman who led me to Christ in the 1980s. But the other thing is that this is something that is dominant in the rhetoric of not only Black Lives Matter, but a lot of leftists who are causing a disruption in our day and age, and even involved in riotous behavior and involved in murder and looting and arson. And there have been even statements made by prominent politicians and community leaders, so-called, that have said that the looting, for instance, is okay because this is really a part of the reparations these people deserve as Black Americans, since they were mistreated by whites. So, and of course, they're not even mentioning the fact that perhaps even the majority of these stores being looted are owned by Blacks also. As if there is ever any legitimacy for violently looting somebody else's business to begin with. But it was those two things that were the catalyst for today's program. And I think a wise place to start is to define the noble savage, because there are folks, especially millennials and those who are younger, who may have never heard that phrase.
Sure, sure. Well, the idea of the noble savage, this noble savage, Chris, is an idea that is usually traced to the 18th century French philosopher, rationalist philosopher, Jean-Jacques Rousseau. And he wrote a book called On the Social Contract. And he was not the only one. Thomas Hobbes, the Englishman Thomas Hobbes, also spoke of the social contract, as did John Locke, who was very influential, incidentally, in the writing of the Declaration of Independence, because Thomas Jefferson was heavily influenced by Locke's writings. Jean-Jacques Rousseau referred to this idea of the noble savage, that the noble savage basically was someone who was unpolluted by social customs. They represented the ideal man, and they were untouched by culture and corrupting influences of commerce, like money, for example, and they were not corrupted by urbanization. And so he reasoned that because they were people of the land, that lived off the land and so forth, he argued that they were more virtuous and innocent. And so his whole view was that the closer you were to nature itself and its inherent goodness, the more noble you would be. And of course, Rousseau, of course, never lived among the so-called noble savages. He never went and lived among the, for example, he never saw what happened in Mexico under the Aztecs, or in Peru under the Mayans, with the human sacrifices and cutting open chests and taking out heart, beating heartbeats to the sun god, and the cannibalism that went on there and so forth. And so it's really from Rousseau that you get this idea. Now, there was another writer by the name of John Dryden, who wrote a book called The Conquest of Granada, and he wrote this way, way back in 1672. And he writes this, he says, "I am as free as nature first made man, before the base laws of servitude began, when wild in the woods the noble savage ran." And so the idea here is that those who were indigenous to the land, the indigenous peoples, these people were far more noble than the civilized societies. In those days, of course, London, for example, the civilized societies of London. And the idea here is what corrupts humans, this is the theory of Rousseau, that what corrupted humans was money, commerce, urbanization, and society itself. Civilized society is what actually corrupts people. So that's where we get the term the noble savage.
And you hinted at it moments ago when you were agreeing with my caveat that I didn't want people to get the wrong idea. And of course, there are many people who are still going to get the wrong idea. But we are not also saying today that white people or European settlers in the North American continent, on the North American continent, are somehow free or guiltless from the sins of bigotry, racial hatred, and atrocities against those who are minority and even specifically Native American Indians. And of course, obviously the fact that slavery existed in this country for quite a long time, chattel slavery. We didn't invent it, as it has been claimed by those in the woke movement and the Black Lives Matter movement. We didn't invent slavery. It existed for centuries, but even before what is known as the United States even existed. Slavery exists today, where the slave holders and slave traders are very often black Africans who are involved in the sex slave trade and so on. Bigotry and atrocities committed by one group against another, perhaps a weaker group, there is no skin color that holds a market on this behavior. This is where a lot of the sinful, heretical understanding of these things comes about, because isn't it just as racist and bigoted to say that white people are by nature bigots as it is to say that black people are inferior? I mean, aren't those two things really equivalent? Because in essence, you are saying white people are inferior. You're saying they're morally inferior. Just like when those who are championing the so-called LGBTQ community, they will say, oh, there's nothing wrong with a Cub Scout leader and a Boy Scout leader who is homosexual taking boys out into the woods and sleeping in the same tent with them, because we don't do those things. We don't molest children. The pedophiles are typically middle-aged, white, heterosexual, married men. So the homosexuals are morally superior because, hey, we draw the line with pedophilia. We don't ever do that, which, of course, is just a bald-faced lie.
Yeah.
But I'm coming across accurately here that you're not trying to create some kind of fiction that atrocities have never occurred by Western European Caucasian settlers in North America against those of darker skins.
That's right. And again, it brings us back to Romans 3:23, that we've all have come short of God's glory, we've all sinned. And it's not just European colonialists. It's also every culture has had slavery. For example, the Native American Indians also owned slaves. They would enslave other tribes. They would conquer them. They would take their wives. They would rape them. They also performed acts of cannibalism to show their supremacy over the other tribe. So they owned slaves. We know that the Aztecs down in Mexico and also the Mayans in Peru, we know that they also owned slaves. Those were the people they usually took to sacrifice to their sun god by, again, ripping open their chest and taking out their heart to sacrifice to the sun god. They did this with slaves that they had taken. And in fact, in the Caribbean, the word carib, Chris, don't know if you know this, but the word Caribbean, was the name of a major tribe in those islands, the Caribs. And the Caribs were known to attack the other indigenous tribes and not only kill them, enslave them, but also they would cannibalize them as well. And so when the Spaniards came to the Caribbean, these tribes actually aligned themselves with the Spaniards to fight off the Caribs, because they had a choice. Either I'm going to go with these guys in shiny armor, or I'm going to go with the guys who want to eat my family and rape my wife. And so logically, they went with the Spaniards, and the Spaniards defended them as well. So what I'm saying is this, Chris, it doesn't matter what culture we talk about. Every single culture has practiced slavery, including Africans in the continent of Africa. Many of these African tribes caught these slaves and sold them to the Western Europeans on the western coast of Africa, and sold them to the eastern border of Africa to the Muslims. And Islam, of course, Muslims were enslaving Africans long before the Europeans got there. So there is no one innocent here, Chris. There is no one who could say, I am innocent of all this, and I have not been guilty of slavery or taking over someone's land and so forth. All of human history is conquest. In fact, even the Native Americans, we call them in Canada Aboriginals, First Nations people, all of them would fight for land and kick out the other adjoining tribe and take over their land. So the narrative that you're seeing right now in the United States and in Canada and in the West, and Black Lives, the movement itself, I think you already know this, Chris, they're a Marxist movement, and they also oppose the nuclear family because they see it as an oppressive institution. We need to understand something here, and that is the narrative that we're being fed is basically everything that is Christian and Western European in its origins, like North America and of course, countries like New Zealand, Australia, and so forth, and Western Europe, anything that is based on Western democracy and Christianity is wrong and evil, and they are the oppressor, and we are the oppressed. And that's why you'll notice they will never address the Islamic slave trade. They'll never address the fact that, and it's very well documented, that the Native Americans also conquered each other and fought each other and subdued each other. They will not mention that, Chris, because it doesn't fit the narrative. There's a narrative here, and the narrative is to demolish Christianity, destroy Western democracy, and establish a socialist republic or socialist government.
Now, by the way, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie that I was shocked how much I enjoyed it. I was riveted to the screen. 14 years ago, a movie came out called Apocalypto. Mel Gibson produced and directed it.
That's right.
I was surprised I enjoyed it so much because there was not one word of English in the entire movie. And it's all, the whole movie is a man running through the jungles escaping the Mayans who are trying to sacrifice him as a human sacrifice as they did with thousands and thousands of others. So there you have another example of indigenous peoples who were so-called conquered by Western Europeans who were innocent victims of this. And these were satanic practices. Now, I'm not saying, again, we don't want to broad brush these folks either. We don't want to broad brush Native Americans either. There are some tribes that were not violent and hostile toward the European colonists. And welcomed them, and lived side by side with them, and even the story of the first Thanksgiving in North America. So I mean,
that's right.
You don't have every Native American tribe being a bloodthirsty, cannibalistic, violent tribe that just wanted to rape white women and murder white men and scalp them. You know, they were just like people are different. there were different kinds of philosophies and ideologies within the Native Americans, and the unifying factor is that all human beings of every skin color, of every ethnicity, we are all conceived and born in sin and need to be rescued by a sovereign, merciful God in order to be saved and in order to be covered with the righteousness of Christ in order to enter heaven.
Yeah, do you remember that movie back in the 80s, Chris? It was called The Gods Must Be Crazy.
That sounds familiar. I don't know if I ever saw it.
Yeah, it was about the Native African Bushmen. And in this movie, they were trying to perpetuate this idea that the idea of a noble savage. And as a matter of fact, what actually happened was that when people actually went in to visit and actually spend time with the African Bushmen, the very people that appear in The Gods Must Be Crazy, they found out that they had a custom where they would assault their wives and they would actually murder their neighbors. So they were shocked to find this out. But again, we're not shocked at this because, again, we are all tainted by sin. But even Hollywood has perpetuated this idea. I mean, movies like, for example, Dances with Wolves, Disney's Tarzan and Pocahontas. I'm not talking about Elizabeth Warren here, by the way. So and Disney's Tarzan and Pocahontas, it gives you this noble savage idea that it was these awful white European men who came in and just destroyed everything. But you know, Chris, it really shows us that if you really think about it, the first homicide recorded in scripture is that of Abel, of Cain murdering his brother Abel, as we read in Genesis 4. And isn't it interesting that it all starts with God showing favor to Abel's sacrifice, and God does not show favor to Cain.
In fact, we have to pick up right where you left off there with Abel being murdered by Cain. We have to go to our first break. If you'd like to join us with your own question, whether you agree with what's being said, whether you vehemently disagree, whether you're just not sure, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And if it's just a general question, please give us at least a first name, city and state, and country of residence. We'll be right back with Dr. Tony Costa and debunking the myth of the noble savage right after these messages from our sponsors.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Island 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
You don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, We hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and our guest today is Dr. Tony Casa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary, and we are discussing debunking the myth of the noble savage and slander against the Christian colonists in North America. And our email address, if you have a question that you'd like to ask, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And Tony, you were just talking about the very first murder recorded in Holy Scripture. That was the murder of Abel by his own brother Cain.
Right, right. And Cain happened to be a gardener. He happened to be, at first, he started off probably as a peaceful gardener. Remember what I said earlier about the view of the noble savage being close to nature and uncorrupted by society and uncorrupted by commerce and so forth and so on. But notice in the case of Cain, even though he was a man of the land, being a farmer himself, a gardener, he becomes the first murderer.
Yeah, so in other words, being a vegan makes you become eventually a murderer then.
Yes. I mean, just thinking of it gives me violent thoughts, just thinking of being a vegan. But in the case of Cain, if you notice, he was a man of the land. That didn't make him noble or made him any pious. But we're told there that he brought forth his... the promise of the land and offering it to God, and Abel also came and offered up a lamb. And Cain became, of course, very jealous and envious of his brother that God showed favor towards him, but he rejected his offering. And it's interesting, what does Cain do is he begins to marinate in this anger and bitterness towards his brother. He begins to see himself as the victim. So here we have the first victimization. The idea that he's the victim, that he's been unfairly dealt with by God. And so, if you remember, God comes to Cain and says, look, if you do well, will you not be rewarded? And he warns him, the Lord warns Cain about, be careful, sin is crouching at the door like a lion ready to pounce on you. If you do well, will you not be accepted? This is what the Lord tells Cain. Well, Cain, of course, ignores God's counsel, and which is not a very safe thing to do. He ignores God's counsel, and instead of repenting and acknowledging that he was wrong, or that he could please God and by offering up what Abel offered up, that is a substitute, a lamb, which was a foreshadowing, a picture of the Lamb of God who was to come. Instead, what does Cain do? He marinates in his anger and his bitterness, sees himself as this victim who's been hard done by, and what does that do? It leads them to this murderous spirit, this murderous attitude. He beguiles Abel to go out into the field to have a chat, and then we're not told exactly how, but we're told that Cain killed his brother. And why did he kill him? He killed him out of envy and bitterness and anger because he felt that God had basically favored Abel over him, and so he takes the victimization attitude. And of course, if you read the rest of Cain's life, it's a sad state of affairs. I mean, Cain goes off as a wanderer from the presence of the Lord, and he goes out and he builds a city called Nod, which is in Hebrew, it's N-O-D, Nod, and it's the Hebrew word that means to wander. And so here we have the first example in Scripture, Chris, of someone seeing himself as the perpetual victim. And all that does is it breeds anger. It's a vicious cycle. It's a cycle that you can't get out of. And I think that's what we're seeing today in our society as well. There's those who will see themselves as perpetual victims who will always find the scapegoat either in the white man or in the government or whatever it may be, or blame God for it. And the problem here, once again, it all comes back to human pride, human sin, and human rebellion against God.
And if you could, now I'm going to set up a summary of the scenario. Of course, not everybody says it identically as I'm about to say it, and some may disagree with some elements of what I'm including in this, and they just may approach it differently. But this is a general way that the atrocities of the Western European white man have been described on the North American continent. The white Western European folks should never have settled here to begin with, and they will they will bring up the irony of how conservative Americans are opposed to illegal immigration, how those from Mexico and Central and South America and other places from the Middle East are without documentation, without papers, entering into the United States illegally, and they will say, how on earth could we legitimately be opposed to this when that's what the white Western European settlers did? They, in essence, invaded a land that was not theirs. They had no business settling here, because this was a nation owned and governed and run by a monolithic group of people known as Native Americans. Well, of course, they wouldn't have been known back then as Native Americans. But by tribes of non-whites who had the free run of the of this continent centuries before a white man ever set foot on the shores here, and that these white Europeans, in order to just basically take over this entire continent, raped, pillaged, and plundered, much like the Vikings did in Europe. Our ancestors, those of us who happen to be Caucasian, raped, pillaged, and plundered this continent, and performed genocide against the Native Americans, who were monolithically, in the majority, a peaceful and loving and compassionate people. And so now we have reached a point in the 21st century when where they are only a tiny minority that still exists here, and for us to even have any claim to ownership of private property or to claim national borders and to even claim this as our country, these are all illegitimate claims, because this continent, this land, this soil does not really belong to us. So if you could just comment on everything that I said, and if you want to include anything I forgot to mention.
Sure. I think that's that when people make those claims, I think it's an oversimplification. For one thing, number one, from a theological point of view, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God is the owner of the whole earth, and everything is his to start with. God has given the earth to man, and given it to us to rule. So it's really not our, as the hymn puts it, this is our Father's world. That's the theological point. The second thing I think is important to point out is that in Acts 17, Paul says that God made all humans from one man. From one man, God created all humans on the earth. So as you rightly pointed out earlier, there is no human races. There's one human race made up of varieties of ethnicities and nations and so forth. And God not only made all humans from that one man, but Paul goes and says that God has set the boundaries of their habitation, so that even the borders of these nations have been even set and decreed by God. The other thing we need to bear in mind is that the very concept of nation that the left is opposed to, the so-called globalists that are opposed to walls and borders and so forth, the very concept of nation was created by God. Because when God chose Abraham, who was Abram at the time, God said, I will make of you a great name, and I will make of you a great nation. And God creates a nation state through the people of Israel. And it is through those nations that God brings and forms the church. We see that at Pentecost, where everyone from various nations comes to Jerusalem. And out of the many nations, God creates the church. Now, in terms of this idea that there was a monolithic African-American tribes here, both in the
Native American, you know, Native Americans, not African-American.
Native American, I'm sorry, Native American, and also up in Canada with the Aboriginals, the First Nations people. That is false. They were not monolithic. They were warring tribes for the most part. Some of them basically eradicated, for example, the Iroquois, which was a very powerful tribe up here in Canada. The Iroquois wiped out the Hurons completely. There are no Hurons living today, either in Canada or the United States. They were completely wiped out by the Iroquois. And the other thing is that if you look at all of human history has been a history of exploration and conquest. How did Islam, for example, spread from Saudi Arabia all the way across the Middle East, all of North Africa? They went as far as Spain and Portugal. Now, again, the Crusades pushed them out of those regions. But today, the Middle East, which was once a bastion of Christianity, and North Africa, where we get the great Augustine, and Tertullian was North African, and many of the early fathers came from that region. All of North Africa today is Islamic. And so we look back at history. We can look at Turkey, you know, the whole issue with Hagia Sophia, that beautiful church that was taken in 1453 by the Muslim Turks, and then it was converted to a mosque and then to a museum. And now recently, Turkey has declared it to be a mosque again. The argument that, well, this was their land first and it was taken, again, we're not undermining in any way, we're not suggesting there was no abuse of any sort, but what we are saying is that history is made up of conquest. And whether we like it or not, it's a fact of history. The United Kingdom, for example, England was taken in 1066 by William the Conqueror. He goes in with the Normandies, they go into the British Isles, and they take over, and it became what it is today. And so when we hear these claims that the Europeans came over here, like Christopher Columbus, who is being despised now by the left, when Christopher Columbus came and then later other Europeans came along, the reason why so many of the Native Americans died was not due to warfare. In fact, the greatest amount of casualties among the Native Americans was due to exposure to various diseases that the Europeans brought with them, of which the Native Americans had no immunity. So, for example, tuberculosis, typhoid fever, things like malaria, these are things that the Native Americans were not used to. They didn't have them.
In fact,
the majority of them.
In fact, the leftists, though, will agree with that enthusiastically,
yes.
Not that they were in favor of it,
yes.
But they will say, yes, you're right, the white man is responsible for the deaths of thousands, countless thousands of Native Americans because of the diseases we brought. In fact, we're going to pick up right where you left off. I know it went by very quickly, but we have to go to another station break. That's the only way we survive is but through our commercials and our faithful donors. But we're going to the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the SEC requires Grace Life Radio of localizing this show to Lake City, Florida through their own public service announcements. So while they air their own local public service announcements during our break, we air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely by writing down as much of the information by as many of our advertisers as possible. And patronizing our advertisers, because that will further ensure that we remain on the air if you keep our advertisers happy. Because, as I said, we absolutely rely upon the advertising dollars that come in from our sponsors in order to exist. But also write down questions for Dr. Tony Costa on our discussion on the noble or debunking the myth of the noble savage and the slanders against Christian colonists in North America. And whether you agree or maybe you vehemently disagree, you think Tony's out of his mind. I already think that anyway, but not on this issue or these issues. But give us an email at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you after these messages from our sponsors. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Tony Costa.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333, or visit liyfc.org. That's LIYFC.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past to present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And folks, please remember to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, whether these are birthday gifts, wedding anniversary gifts, whether they are back-to-school gifts, retirement gifts, baptism gifts. Perhaps you are giving a gift to someone who has just lost a loved one, and they're grieving. Well, please go to solid-ground-books.com and purchase your gifts there first and foremost, whether your friends and loved ones are Christians or not. Because remember, when you give a gift from solid-ground-books.com to a lost person, someone who does not yet know Jesus Christ as their Lord, God, and Savior, God may use a book or books that you purchase from solid-ground-books.com to lead those individuals to an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. So just always remember solid-ground-books.com for the finest in Christian literature from the past and present, and always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We depend on solid-ground-books.com to exist. They are a premier and vital financial supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Dr. Tony Costa, who is discussing today debunking the myth of the noble savage and slander against the Christian colonists in North America, we just have some important announcements to make. First of all, I hope that as many of you as possible join me next week, Friday and Saturday, the 28th and 29th of August, in Scranton, Pennsylvania, for the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors conference that they are having in Scranton on the basics of biblical counseling. The executive director of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, which is also known as ACBC, Dale Johnson, is going to be speaking on the need for biblical counseling, the definition and goal of biblical counseling, progressive sanctification, qualifications of a biblical counselor, secular and integration theories, what makes biblical counseling biblical, and a Q&A session with the audience. The conference begins Friday night at 5 and continues all day Saturday until 5. If you'd like to join me there in Scranton, Pennsylvania for this conference next Friday and Saturday, the 28th and 29th of August, you can go to this website to register and find out more. biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton-PA-training. That's biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton, spelled S-C-R-A-N-T-O-N, -PA-training. Or you could go to the website of the venue of this conference where it's being held, High Point Baptist Church of Larksville, Pennsylvania. Larksville is a suburb of Scranton. That website is highpointbaptist.church, highpointbaptist.church. Please greet me at the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth at the conference if you attend. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please, we are in urgent need of your finances. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. We lost our two largest financial supporters amid the hysteria connected to the COVID pandemic in the United States. The businesses owned by these two supporters have been so negatively impacted that they had to put us on hiatus in regard to donating. I'm hoping that they come back as financial supporters, especially since they're the two largest supporters we've ever had. But if you can help us in the meantime, at least make up for that huge loss by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. You can also write out a check and mail it via snail mail to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. You can also advertise with us because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars. as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that's at the very least compatible with what I believe. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Please never, ever, ever siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church in order to support Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. In other words, don't steal from your own collection plate at your church in order to give to us. Never also put your family in financial jeopardy if you're having a hard time making ends meet by giving to Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your family and your church. Providing for Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio is not a command of Scripture, obviously. But if you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and you love the show, and you don't want it to disappear, go to ironsharpensionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and donate as generously as you can and as frequently as you can. We really do need your donations in a big way. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, I can help you, God willing, find a church no matter where in the world you live. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, and I've helped many people who listen to the show in all parts of the world find churches near them that they didn't even know existed that are biblically sound. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you're in that category, you need a church, no matter where you live. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put in the subject line, I need a church. And I hope to hear from you soon, and I will try my best to help you find a church. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Dr. Tony Costa on debunking the myth of the noble savage and slander against the Christian colonists in North America. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Before I go to any listener questions, let's pick up where we left off. You were talking about how many thousands of Native Americans died because the Western Europeans brought with them diseases to which the Native Americans did not develop an immunity. And I said, that is brought up by leftists as well, as if there was some plot behind that. Obviously, the Western Europeans didn't intentionally do that. They probably didn't even know that was going to happen. But if you could pick up where we left off there. And I had a feeling that Dr. Costa was not with us on the line, unless he's in the bathroom. I don't know where he is. I'm hanging up, and I hope he calls back. But let me repeat our email address. It is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name at least. Give us your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And Dr. Costa has emailed me saying he was disconnected somehow. I am telling him to call back now. And also, folks, please keep in mind that we are trying to be as honest about this as possible by not exaggerating the innocence of white Western European settlers in all matters at all times. But at the same time, the charges against them have been so exaggerated and often false that they are slanderous. And there is an agenda behind this, and especially it is racist and bigoted against white people and the ancestors of Western European settlers to single those individuals out as being the sole harbingers of racial hatred and bigotry. But, Dr. Costa, thank you for joining us again. I don't know how you get disconnected, but I was saying that our leftists... that our leftist neighbors and those in the media and those who are politicians will very often concede something that you brought up, but they will do so as just an additional charge to hurl against white Western European settlers, that we, in fact, were responsible for the deaths of countless thousands of Native Americans because of the diseases we brought. But if you could pick up there.
What I would just say is that I don't see how they'd be responsible for something they did not intentionally plan to do. They didn't intentionally come with all these sick folk across the Atlantic just to infect all these Native Americans in the continent. And so I think that's an unfair statement. I think that the immunity of the Native Americans, the First Nation indigenous people, they had no immunity towards these types of diseases that the Europeans brought. But again, there was no premeditation here. There was no intent to do this.
Now there is an element of the charge involving disease that it might not involve intent, but it does involve guilt. There is the charge that the white Western European settlers were often raping Native American women and spreading syphilis and other venereal diseases, which led to their death.
How rampant
was the rape of Native Americans by white settlers? And of course, Native Americans, some tribes were notorious of raping white European settlers,
right.
but you know, no skin color or ethnicity is the sole harbinger of rape either. But if you could,
right.
And, well, how rampant was it for white folks?
I don't have any numbers about how rampant it was. Did it happen? Yes, it did happen. It happens in all cases of warfare and so forth. But in terms of numbers, I do not know. But what I do know is that there have been published works that have dealt with the question of the wars that went on prior to the coming of the Europeans into these indigenous lands. And those wars, of course, were intertribal, and they would also involve rape as well. That is from tribe to tribe. But back in the 90s, there was a very important book written by Lawrence Keeley. It was entitled War Before Civilization, and the subtitle was The Myth of the Peaceful Savage. And in that book, what Keeley does is he provides graphs with various numbers. He argues that in prehistoric and primitive societies, more people died than those who died in Western European warfare. And so at the end of the day, there was rape in every culture. There was rape in all forms of conquest. And the folks that cry out from the rooftops, Chris, that, you know, this is their land, we should give their land back, this is a form of virtue signaling. That is, they will make these claims, but if they really meant those claims, Chris, then that means you should be packing up and heading back to Ireland. I should pack up and go back to Portugal. And all those folks who are making these claims, they should also leave their homes, pass them over, give them over to the Native Americans, and go and try to trace their, you know, nation of origin and move out. So a lot of them will make these statements, but you will seldom actually see them do what they say should be done. And so if you're going to make the claim that we are on Native American land, well then, leave. Get out and give them your house, give them your car, give them your apartment, and so forth and so on. But they don't do that, Chris. And so what you have at the end is basically a form of virtue signaling.
We do have John in Bangor, Maine, who asks, the charges that we stole Native American lands, is it true that Native Americans typically did not even have a concept of land ownership to begin with?
Yes, that is very true. They didn't have the concept of national borders the way that we conceive of it. And a lot of these were nomadic peoples. The Native American peoples were nomadic. They moved, they roamed, they followed the livestock, like the buffalo, for example. And so the idea of a nation state with a capital city, with a government and so forth, this was something that was foreign to them. And so to talk about the white man coming and taking their land would presume that there were known territorial borders and so forth, and that is simply not the case.
Thank you, John. We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, please forgive me if I missed this, but if you could, let us know how it is a different scenario from conservative Americans being opposed to illegal immigration than the white settlers landing here in the North American continent and basically taking over the continent. How is this a different scenario than the illegal immigration?
Yeah, well, it comes back to the question of nation and borders and so forth. When the Europeans came to the Americas and started expanding their colonies and so forth and so on, I mean, the thing about the whole Thanksgiving celebration, at least in the United States, the whole concept was that the pilgrims actually sat down with the Aboriginals and had a meal together in a way of saying, look, we want to respect each other. We want to live in peace with each other. And so there was this understanding of, can we get along? Can we live together? And can we celebrate this with a meal? That is the history of the Thanksgiving celebration, at least in America. But the idea here is that the concept of borders and nations was not something that was known to the Native American people. Now, how is that different than what we're seeing today? Well, the United States is a nation, and it has borders, and it has laws, both federal and state level and so forth. And when you have a nation state, you have borders. And therefore, when people want to enter into your country, they are allowed to enter, but they should only enter through the legal channels. That is, you come legally and you apply for citizenship and so forth and so on. So what's going on is that the left, and predominantly the Democratic Party, what they're doing is they're saying, look, we can just bring all these illegals in here. They don't need documentation. They don't need to go through the process. They can come here and they can work here and so forth, and they should be given the right to vote. That is not something that is lawful. And the way I compare it, Chris, is this. A lot of folks who are listening to our program today, I'm sure that when they went to work today, they locked their homes. I'm sure that they locked their cars. Well, why would they lock their homes? Well, because that is their property. They don't want someone walking into their property and taking what is theirs. Why do they have fences? Why do we have property lines in our homes and property? Well, we have property lines to say, this is mine, this is yours. Now, we will not allow just any stranger to our home, because that's why we have locks, and that's why we have the police, and that's why Americans have the right to bear arms, to defend themselves. But if we put this on a national level, why should the United States simply say, oh, yeah, just walk right in, you're welcome in this country, and the taxpayers will take care of your welfare checks, they'll take care of your food, stamps, and so forth and so on. That is unlawful behavior. And so I think the difference here is the context. We're talking about an established nation with laws, and those laws have to be respected. Boundary lines have to be respected. We expect people to respect our property lines, our homes, our vehicles, our property, our bank accounts. Well, then, on a national level, the President of the United States has sworn into his office the oath that he will do what he can to protect his nation, and that's what any law-abiding leader of any country should be doing.
Let's see, we have RJ in White Plains, New York, who says, is there any truth to any charges of atrocity against Christopher Columbus?
Well, I think most historians, if you read up on medieval scholars who specialize in European history, they will openly admit that Christopher Columbus has really been demonized by the left. Christopher Columbus, as we know, was an explorer, and the claim of atrocities is usually what I said earlier about the Europeans bringing these diseases into the West and the Native Americans falling prey to these infectious diseases. Christopher Columbus, from what we know, there's a big debate whether he was Spanish, whether he was Italian. That's irrelevant. The point is, part of his desire was to see the Christian gospel, or at least Christianity, spread out into the New World. And this is something we sometimes overlook, Chris, and that is that God, in his sovereignty, God has used the evil machinations of men's hearts, like Joseph's brothers. He's used the slave trade, for example, to expose a lot of these Africans to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which they would not have heard in their pagan environment. Same with the Native Americans. Many of them, we know, worshipped the elemental powers and nature and so forth. And this is why the Christians of yesteryear used to refer to them not only as savages, but if you remember, they would refer to them as the heathen. And the heathen was simply another old English word for pagans, those who are unchristianized. And so it's amazing how, when I look at history, how God has overruled the evil machinations of the human heart and has brought the gospel to Africa, has brought the gospel to the Native Americans, which would not have happened if these types of conquests took place. So in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of the swamp, you know, the lotus, the beautiful lotus flower comes up. And so I think that we must not forget that our God is sovereign, and what people meant for evil, God turns around and designs it for the good of his people.
And, of course, you are not saying that that is a justification of sinful humans either kidnapping Africans or purchasing kidnapped Africans to have them become enslaved in chattel slavery and to sell them as slaves. This does not justify.
Absolutely
this.
Not.
Yeah. This, God uses horrible things like the murder of his innocent son to bring salvation to the world. I mean, the most.
That's right. Exactly.
The most horrible, horrible thing.
Thanks for bringing that up, Chris, because we're not justifying the taking of a human being and treating them as chattel and treating them like a beast of labor. We're definitely not doing that. Just as much as when Joseph's brothers did to him was evil. When they lied to Jacob, their father, and said that Joseph was consumed by a wild beast, and they took his coat of many colors and drenched it in blood, in goat's blood, and then lied to their elderly father in saying, your son has been consumed by a wild beast, knowing very well that Joseph was sold to the Midianites, who then took him to Egypt. And so the acts of his brothers were evil. The acts of Judas Iscariot in betraying and denying the spotless Son of God, and what the Romans did and the Jewish Sanhedrin in taking this innocent man and giving them a mistrial, and then what the Romans did in taking those spikes and putting it through his feet and his hands, and just to think about the barbarity that took place in crucifixion. These were evil things. Nowhere does the Bible say, but Peter says on the day of Pentecost, you by evil hands took the author of life and you put him to death. And so there is no idea here that the apostles are expunging the evil that was done to the Lord Jesus Christ and the slaying of the spotless Son of God. But what they're saying is that God overrides the evil intentions of men's evil hearts, and he turns that evil into good. So a good point you made there, Chris.
We have Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who says, isn't another proof that not all white Western European settlers on the North American continent were racist is that John Rolfe, a white man, married the Indian Pocahontas and was never accused of anything wrong or sinful, and this marriage was accepted by those who knew them and were a part of the settlement with them.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, you know, one of their descendants was Elizabeth Warren, right, Chris? Okay. She is 1,024th Native American. Okay, so no, and that's a good point that the caller has made there, a very good point, that there was no one looked at that as something that was evil or unusual. So,
well, at least the people that were involved in the same region and the same settlement as John Rolfe. I mean, there have been people who have, in sin, opposed interracial marriage and still do.
Yeah, I mean, Bob Jones University was known for that at one time in doing that. But when we started off the show, you discussed the issue of Moses. After Zipporah died, Moses took an Ethiopian wife to himself. And, of course, Aaron and Miriam began to balk at that. And so here we see an example of in the Bible, God had no issue with Moses marrying an Ethiopian woman. So interracial marriage is not something that is foreign to God's word or his will. But were there people who critiqued that? Yes, of course there were. But there were also people who were okay with that. And both on both the colonist side and also the tribe that Pocahontas belonged to.
Yes, in fact, anybody who prohibits or believes that marriage between two people of different skin colors is sin or wrong, that person is sinful and heretical. The only mixed marriages that the Bible forbids or prohibits is when a Christian takes as a spouse somebody who is not a Christian. Has nothing to do with skin color or ethnic origin. It has to do with putting as your top priority the God you serve and the God that you want your children to serve.
Right.
And
right.
That is the only sin. And of course, if somebody is already married to a person of a different religion, they are not even permitted in the scripture to leave that person after they become a Christian. They're still
correct.
They must remain the spouse of that person unless, of course, there's a difference of opinion on the reasons for divorce. But if there was adultery or a serious, gross spousal abuse or abandonment, then you have legitimacy of divorce, but not just because somebody's of a different religion.
Right. I mean, look at Timothy, you know, Paul's companion, who he wrote two letters to in the New Testament. Timothy's father was a Greek, and his mother was a Jew. And so here's another example of a New Testament figure who comes from an interracial marriage. And so they may have had similar skin color, or they would maybe have been olive skin, but still, here you have a mixed marriage of a Greek father, in the case of Timothy, and a Jewish mother.
Let's see, we have Grady, who is one of our faithful listeners and also a faithful contributor financially to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina. Greetings, brothers Chris and Tony. Growing up in the South, I was blessed to have a godly mother and grandparents, and very early I was taught not to judge others by their wealth, status, color, gender, or any other outward appearance. I was taught that we are one race and created by God. Don't you think the church has failed in being more out front on this and should be teaching we are different ethnicities, one fallen race, and our Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to reconciliation between all people? Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I think it is the failure of quote-unquote conservative white Christians, Protestant Christians, and of course even those in Christendom, a broader group of people than just Bible-believing Christians, but even Roman Catholics and others, the failure of conservative whites to lead the charge for integration and against segregation and against Jim Crow laws and against slavery, although William Wilberforce and the vast majority, 99.999% of the abolitionists were obviously white, so they did exist. But in fact, the first integrated Bible studies and worship services, I am told, conducted in the South were conducted by those in the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America denomination, the Covenanters. And you have others that have championed that. But yes, I think that we that is a sign, and I think it's a charge that could be rightfully made, is that they failed in leading the charge and basically handed that issue over to liberals and those involved in a social gospel, and that should never have happened.
Correct. I totally agree. And one of the greatest blemishes, too, I think in American history, I'm speaking as a Canadian, I'm speaking as an outsider here, But I think what I'm saying here is backed up. But one of the greatest blemishes is that there were many in the South that actually tried to argue from Scripture that slavery should continue and that slavery should not be abolished. And that is a blemish that we have. And I speak as we because we're part of the body of Christ. But it is definitely a blemish that there were people, and I mentioned Bob Jones University, there were people who supported no intermarriage and this idea of segregation. It flies right against Galatians 3:28, that in Christ there is no Jew, there's no Gentile, no Greek, no slave, no free, no male, no female. We are all one body in Christ. And so it is a stain, I think, on the Christian witness that there were some who were still trying to protect and support slavery.
Now, I'm going to read a question to you from an anonymous listener and have you answer it when we come back from our final break. Our anonymous listener says, although this may not be your intention, it seems as though you are trying to create a scenario where the atrocities performed by white European settlers in the United States were against the Native Americans were rare and an exception to the rule. It seemed to dominate the way the Native Americans were treated. Please respond. And we'll have you respond to that when we come back from our final break. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of your questions and more of Tony Costa's answers right after these messages from our sponsors. So we'll be right back.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
we are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gadi, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gadi earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gadi so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gadi. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878. Welcome back, and Dr. Tony Costa. We heard from an anonymous listener before the station break who basically is saying, in essence, you're making it out like the atrocities by whites against Native Americans was an exception to the rule rather than the rule, when the reverse is obviously and embarrassingly true. So how do you respond to that?
Yeah, I would not say that. I'm not saying that it was light in any way. I'm not making an excuse or an exception to the rule. I acknowledge that there were abuses that were committed by Europeans and colonists, but that's not going to make me deny that there were also atrocities committed by Native Americans and even the Indians in Mesoamerica, the Aztecs, the Mayans, the Incas, and so forth. The child sacrifices that took place, the blood sacrifices that took place of other tribes and so forth. So, for example, if you know American history, you'll know that President Andrew Jackson was famous for the Indian Removal Act of 1830, where he negotiated with Native American tribes by removing them west of the Mississippi and known as the Trail of Tears. Many of them, unfortunately, lost their lives. So there are cases like this where we can point to, but all this shows us at the end of the day is that we are all corrupt. We have all sinned. We are all evil in our hearts. And so I'm not making excuses for the colonists, but at the same time, if we're going to talk about handing land back, well then, again, are we being consistent with those claims? If you claim that America is on Indian land, then okay, then Americans should leave to other countries and get the land back, but none of them will do that. But then again, this is all part of world history. All of history is a testimony to conquest. It's a testimony to war. It's a testimony to rampant evil in the human heart, and so forth. And so, it's not that the Europeans were more wicked. We're all wicked. What did the Lord Jesus say? That unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The message of the gospel is not this social gospel idea of the oppressor and the oppressed. The message of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and those sinners include Native Americans, it includes African Americans, it includes Asians, it includes white people, and so forth and so on. So what I'm trying to say here is, let's get back to the core issue. The core issue is not white versus brown or black. The core issue is that man is a rebel against God, man is guilty against God, and man needs forgiveness and needs salvation, which can only be found in Jesus Christ. And I know you may have heard this before, but at the end of the day, it's not about skin, it's about sin, and it's not about race, it's about grace. And the gospel is the only thing that will save this broken world.
And it is wicked, and it is racist in the response to any atrocity in the past. It is wicked and racist to say that by virtue of somebody's skin color, namely white people, you are to blame for these atrocities, even if your ancestors were not even involved in these atrocities. Like, I'll give you an example. My ancestors on my father's side came to the United States in the late 1800s, after the Civil War was already over, and settled in Brooklyn, New York, and Rhode Island, where there was no slave trade. And my mother's side, her parents immigrated from Poland in the early 20th century. None of my ancestors had slaves or were involved in enforcing Jim Crow. In fact, the only slaves that my father's ancestors may have had were white, because my father's ancestors were Vikings, raiding and plundering villages and so forth in Europe. But it is a sin to say, well, since you are white, you are you have to openly repent of being a bigot, because it's intrinsic to your very DNA, and you must, as a people, make reparation, and you must make the lives of those of darker skin colors more pleasant, no matter who you are, because you're white.
Right.
That is wicked.
Right.
That is wicked.
It's very wicked, Chris. I mean, it's like saying, when they use that rhetoric, it's like saying to a little Japanese girl, you are guilty for Pearl Harbor. You are guilty for what happened when the Japanese attacked the American naval fleet at Pearl Harbor. That makes as much sense as telling a little Caucasian girl that your ancestors are guilty of slavery, and therefore you should, by guilt by association of skin color, you should pay reparations. That's just as silly as asking a Japanese little girl to pay reparations for Pearl Harbor. And so at the end of the day, you're absolutely right. You are convicted not because you can prove that there was wickedness in your family line, and I don't want to get into the whole Kamala Harris on her father's side owing 5 slave plantations in Jamaica. That's a debate for another day. But what I am saying here is that the way the rhetoric is going today is, if you are white, you are guilty. Full stop. That's the problem, Chris. And this is nothing short of racism in the opposite direction.
Yes. And we have Linda in Hilltop Lake, Texas, who says, there is a wonderful story of Chief Gary Spokane in the Spokane, Washington area. If anyone is interested in the story, please check out Bruce Gore's YouTube videos on this chief. It is thrilling to see how God moved in his life, bringing the gospel to the Middle Spokane tribe of Indians. A book has been written about this story called The Forgotten Awakening. Thankful for this blessed interview with Brother Tony Costa and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thank you, Linda. And I've never heard of this, and I am definitely going to look into it. Have you heard of this?
I have not heard of it, but I think it goes back to the point you made earlier, that God overrules the evil machinations of man's hearts and brings the gospel to these people.
And another thing that we fail to recognize in this whole war going on between left and right is that when it comes to the way that some whites sinfully behaved towards Native Americans, some of it may have been a spirit of vengeance and hate that was perpetuated because of the ancestors of these people having been murdered and abused by Native American warring tribes. But that does not legitimize it. But here's the kicker. The left wants to take vengeance today. The whole concept of what they're demanding is based in vengeance against whites for something that they didn't even personally participate in.
Yeah, just like Cain. It's the same way Cain was towards Abel. Vengeance and anger.
Well, we are out of time. If anybody wants to find out more about Dr. Tony Costa, as he said, the best way is to go to Facebook and look up Tony Costa and make sure it's the Tony Costa who's professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. And that website for Toronto Baptist Seminary is tbs.edu. Dr. Costa, please hold on the line. I want to book you for another interview. I want to thank you so much for doing a superb job, as always, on the show. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. I look forward to hearing from you and your questions for our guest tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Good night, and God bless all of you.